offering my most humble and loving pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet. Dear listeners, this is Prem from Team Radio Sai, welcoming you all to yet another episode of Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. We've started the program well over half an hour late, and the reasons were given by Brother Bishu. Given the uncertainties in the power situation in Prashanthi Nilayam and the extended celebrations in the Sai Kulwant Hall in view of the Dashara celebrations, we are starting a bit late. So I start by thanking Vishu for the Bhajan Tutor segment, and also thank him for joining us again, joining us on this program, Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam. And like the last week, we have the pleasure of the company of Brother Sai Giridhar from the Sai Institute of High Learning. Saram Giridhar.
Saram Prem.
And Saram Prem. Saram Vishu. We are dealing with one of the most fascinating topics in spirituality, in psychology, in science, and in day-to-day living itself, in the mind. The second discourse on the mind in this series, the 1990 Summer Course series, and very aptly named The Vagaries of the Mind. So maybe before we carry on with what Swami has to say in the last two clips of this discourse, I'll quickly go through whatever Swami has said so far.
Sure.
And you know, it was a good exercise for me to write down what Swami is telling, because it is then that I realized that Swami has gone so scientifically through this entire thing, you know, step by step, giving Swami, posing problems, then giving the solutions, and then saying how they're both connected, how this is connected to the solution, to the problem, and very beautiful. Swami starts with a very powerful statement. You know, he says that purusharthas are generally understood as the goals of human life. So Swami said, yes, purusharthas are the goals of human life, but you should not stop at just attaining, you know, dharma, artha, kama, moksha. He said, the true achievement that man should go after is purification and the eventual annihilation of the antakarnas. That should be the goal of the whole process. And antakarnas, as Swami has told in the previous discourse, is manas, buddhi, chitta and ahankara. And the rest of the discourse is based on this allegory which Swami gives, this analogy which Swami gives, of the mind being a mirror, and all the problems of the mind are explained with this analogy of the mind being the mirror. And Swami said that this mind is subject to three kinds of pollutions: mala, vikshepa and avarna. Going on to explain mala, Swami says mala is like the dust that accumulates on the mirror. You know, that kind of obstructs your ability to see what the mirror reflects, and that is in the context of the mind is the muck which accumulates over the actions which you perform over the many lifetimes. You know, every action comes with its own baggage of reflections and reactions. Swami said that deposits itself as a dust on the mind, and that obstructs the vision you have when you look at this, the mirror called the mind. And Swami says, what causes this thing? Yes, of course, Swami said that the actions which we do, and Swami went on to say, how do we handle this thing? Mala can be handled by ahara and vihara, making sure that the ahara and vihara are the right things. You know, you have the right eating habits and the right habits as such, all the other day-to-day habits which we have. And talking about ahara, Swami went on to patra shuddhi, padatha shuddhi and pak shuddhi. And Swami said why dharmic living is important, because the way one earns his livelihood, the vibration actually gets into the food and the food gets into you, and that affects your mind. And you know, that is the connection with which Swami said patra shuddhi.
We are what we eat in some sense.
Definitely, that's what it is. And Swami said that's why patra shuddhi, padatha shuddhi and pak shuddhi is important. And given the fact that we are not always aware of who's cooking our food and where the ingredients for the food is coming from, Swami went on to emphasize the importance of Brahmarpanam, the offering of good food to God and accepting it as a prasadam. How that handles this uncertainty we have about the purity of the way food is cooked. And Swami also went on to say that, you know, this mala, which is accumulated over lifetimes, can be removed only over practice. Like what has taken so much time to accumulate has to be removed only with constant and periodic practice. So in that context, Swami spoke about abhyasa, where abhyasa is a very important thing. And very encouragingly, Swami said, you are all young and you can make amends even now. You know, past is past, you can make amends even now. That was in the concept of mala. Coming to vikshepa, Swami said vikshepa is the wavering of the mind. Where mala was the obstruction caused by the mukha, vikshepa is the wavering. You know, when you see a wavering mirror, Swami says that you tend to think that your nature is also wavering. Swami says it's a flaw in the mirror, the wavering nature, and it's not you. And Swami went on to say that this can be handled by practices like meditation, kirtana, shravanam, and all these Navaveda Bhakti Marga. Swami said that these are all meant to still the mind, to control this vikshepa nature of the mind. Going on to avarana, avarana said that the beauty of avarana is, or rather the sad thing about the avarana is, it comes out of mala and vikshepa. The mala and vikshepa, in a sense, gives rise to avarana, and avarana is, Swami went on to give that analogy of, if you have a cloth covering the mirror, then the mirror does not show you anything at all. Like, you know, if there is dust covering the mirror, it might show you a distorted image or partial image, but when there is a thick cloth covering the mirror, Swami said a Turkish cloth, you know, that's the thickest, which doesn't let any light pass through it.
Yes.
When that is covering the mirror, you don't see anything at all. So what you see in the mirror is a completely different image. It's not what you really are. And in that context, Swami was saying that, you know, the cloth, what is that cloth? You say a cloth is covering the mirror, but what is that cloth? Swami said it is kama, krodha, mada, moha, loba, and matsarya. And the arshad vargas, of course. And in that, Swami said the most dangerous is pride. You know, because pride is because pride directly comes out of wrong association. You know, the wrong ahankara and mamakara, Swami said. And pride is of 8 kinds. You know, and there Swami went on to say, what are the 8 kinds? That which comes out of money, that which comes out of learning and education, that which comes out of beauty, that which comes out of birth, that is caste, affluence, youth, position or authority, and the last and the most dangerous, spiritual. You know, that which comes out of spiritual progress, or the tapas which one does. And
the
how do we...
You gain.
Sorry?
The siddhis you gain.
The siddhis you gain, exactly. Like, you know, as long as you are after money, you say that I am richer than him and I am more affluent than him, but you give up money and turn to spiritual, he said, poor man, he is still after money. You know, I am greater than him, I have given up the, you know, the way in which the mind plays with you.
Yes.
And the beauty with which Swami gives two simple ways of overcoming pride. He said that it's two simple ways and it's very practical. We can experience this if we try it out even in our daily life. Swami said there are two ways. One way is, you look around and see what you're proud of. How many people are there around you who have that in greater amount?
Yes.
And that will bring down your pride. You know, if you are talented, look at somebody who is more talented than you. If you're a good singer, look at how many good singers are there around you. You know, if you are good at a certain thing, if you're, let's say you are a very sweet spoken person, look at how many other well-behaved people are there. And whatever can give you pride, if you can look around, you will see that there are people greater than that. You know, the Tyagaraja way of looking at it, entaro mahanubhavaru.
Yes.
You know, that kind of an attitude. Swami said, as long as you live like a frog in the well, you will never get over pride. And the second way of getting over pride is, understand that whatever you're proud of is ephemeral in nature. Be it money, be it youth, be it the talent which you have, or the beauty of your body, everything is ephemeral. Once you understand that, pride will automatically ebb away. And those are two ways of dealing with pride. And in general, Swami said, avarana, which leads to wrong identification, can be overcome by loving all. You know, that's the final thing which Swami says of how to remove avarana. And he says, loving all, because love that leads to unity, the unifying love, that love which will, in its purest form, make you believe that you are one with everybody. And that is the ultimate, and that will remove avarana. And that was the three pollutions of the mind, the mala, vikshepa, and avarana. Then Swami went on to describe, and he's in the middle of that, of course, the four kinds of defects of the antakarna. And I think Swami spoke about two of those in that context, and Swami gave that beautiful analogy of a candle which is covered by a pot which has 9 holes, right?
9 holes, yeah.
And then he said that there's a cloth on top of the pot, and how each stage of removal of the cloth, the pot, leads you to that oneness. As long as it is covered by that pot, you think that the light coming out of each hole is a light by itself. And when you remove the pot, you realize that the light is actually the same. It is just expressing itself through the many holes in that pot. Is that all this? I think that is where Swami left. Of course, Swami is in the middle of, as I said, the four defects of the mind. Bhranti, that is delusion. Pramadam, which is the hazard which comes out of the delusion. Then Karnapatamam. I hope I've got that right. And that is the weakness of the instruments, where there is defect in the instrument itself. Swami said, like how you have a hand as an external instrument, if there's a weakness in the instrument, the antakarnas are inner instruments, and there might be an inherent weakness in that instrument also. And this also comes by the wrong usage of it. That's what Swami says there. And I think Swami explained about two of those. We are left with the weakness of the instruments and vipralipsa, or jealousy.
Wonderful. As you mentioned, Prem is definitely a very, very intense topic. There is so many new words, and each word has so many connotations. In fact, you can go on discussing about just one thing that Bhagwan is talking about here. And as you are summarizing, two, three thoughts came to me when Swami was mentioning about mala.
Mm-hmm.
I was just reminded of this story from the life of Buddha.
Okay.
One day, Buddha, as he was passing by one village, he wanted to drink some water. So he asked one of his disciples if he could see if there is any nearby stream and bring him a little water in a container. So this disciple went down that valley and he found a stream. And just when he was about to collect water in the container, a bullock cart passed through that water. And you know, the water now was muddy.
Mm-hmm.
But he did not know what to do. Buddha wanted water, so he just took that water and came to the presence of Buddha. And he said, "Lord, I know what I have got is not pure water, it's so muddy, but I don't know what to do, because just when I was about to take water, this bullock cart came and the water has now become so polluted with the mud." Buddha said, "Doesn't matter, no problem, you can go after half an hour." So Buddha continues his sermon, and after that, you know, he sends him after half an hour. And the disciple, when he reaches the water stream now, he sees that even now it is not as clear as he would want it to be. There are still a lot of traces of mud on the surface of the water. So he stands there waiting for some time, and dissatisfied with the quality of water, he comes back to Buddha. And Buddha asks, "What happened?" He says, "Lord, I looked at the water, but it is still not so clear. I didn't feel comfortable bringing that water." Buddha said, "It's fine, no problem, you can go after some time." So after another half an hour later, Buddha sends him, and now the water is very clear, and he brings that water, and Buddha is so happy to receive that water. But then he asks him, "Did you get the message?" He said, "I didn't understand." Buddha said, "See, what did you do for the water in the stream to become pure?" He said, "Nothing." Buddha said, "That is what you have to do. Just be. Do nothing. That is how our mind is. When you have all these thoughts, mala, vikshepa, which is all the wavering of the mind, all you have to do, according to Lord Buddha, is just be. Just allow your mind to not be swayed with anything." And I think that is what Bhagwan once mentioned also to Mr. Krishna Kumar, who works as a financial controller in Bhagwan's hospital in Whitefield. Swami explained to him the concept of witness meditation. You know, mm-hmm. when anything comes to your mind, there are so many thoughts that sometimes assail your mind and you are not comfortable with those thoughts, you don't want to act on those thoughts, but sometimes, you know, you are swayed by these emotions, and it is at these times that we make all the mistakes in our life and we are swayed by the emotions. And Swami says that you have to practice witness meditation. You have to just distance yourself from those thoughts, and just as Buddha said, just be. Everything will settle down. So he just, the Swami said, whenever any thoughts come, you just notice the thought, and the moment you don't give that thought any power, you at that instant make that thought powerless. You don't give it any attention. Suppose I am sitting down now to say read a book, and suddenly I just remember that brother had said that, you know, there is this beautiful video and it's, you know, it's very tempting. And at that moment, you know, I don't want to give it time. I just want to instantly act, then I will go and possibly, you know, spend the time seeing the video rather than doing something else which I thought was actually much better for me. But that is the time when you have to practice witness meditation. You're just okay. You're just still yourself. Okay, what is this thought coming? Let me not give it more power to that thought. I think that is one of those one ways possibly how we can tame this monkey mind, as Bhagwan says.
Right.
In fact, Swami gives a description to this meditation in a way we can understand. Swami says, it's just like you have at home a completely uninvited guest. You know, yes. You really don't want that person at home. You've not invited that person. And he just comes and sits. Now, usually what we do is, we extend some amount of courtesy, saying, you know, why don't you have something, you give him a cup of coffee or something like that.
We want to entertain.
Yeah, so then after the cup of coffee, he will await dinner. probably a movie show after the dinner and God knows what.
Yes.
So the uninvited guest, and who is also an unwanted guest, not only comes there, he is given a little bit of entertainment. At the end of the day, or rather the night, he stays on and God knows how long he is going to stay.
Yes.
Right? Swami gives this analogy, and then Swami says that every thought which you don't want to identify yourself with, or you don't want to involve yourself with, treat the thought like an uninvited guest. But not the way we just mentioned now.
Yes.
But he says, absolutely ignore it. When you ignore what happens, it will try. I mean, if you have a guest who's uninvited and you ignore him or her, what will they? They will try to catch your attention first, isn't it?
Yes.
That is the most, that's the simplest thing.
Yes.
That you can think of. And that will happen even with the thoughts.
Yes.
That is, when you try to ignore them, they will try to capture your attention in some way or the other.
Yes.
They will link up with some other thoughts and, you know,
yes,
create a movie show in your head.
Yes.
To, you know, bring your attention towards them. But the technique which Swami says there is, if you continue to ignore that guest, the guest will get completely frustrated.
Yes.
And he will walk away, never to come back.
Come back.
In the same way, thoughts also, if they are treated in this manner, that you don't involve with them with some amount of determination, they will not come back. In fact, I had some levels of success in practice of this.
Mm-hmm.
So I found it very interesting.
Yes.
That, in fact, Swami says, to the extent when you are, dissociating yourself with all these thoughts, finally the thought that I should not associate with any thought also has to be given up.
Okay.
Right? So that is the kind of the ultimate step in the process, where even the thought that I should not involve with any thoughts, or I should be thoughtless, should be completely given up. Another lesson I remember which Swami had told us in a discourse in the hostel, way back, I think, in the year 2000 or so, was about giving time to these emotions, you know, whether it's anger, jealousy, hatred, all these emotions. Swami said it's a very simple way to deal with them. And Swami gives the analogy of the ocean and the waves. In fact, Swami said even these six vices, that is anger, jealousy, hatred, all these six vices, they emerge from the ocean of love.
Okay.
In fact, fundamentally, they are also love.
Yes.
Right? But they are like the exterior waves in the ocean. Apparently, the waves look different from the ocean. But if you inquire a little bit more deeply, even the wave is made of the same water as the ocean is.
Yes.
So basically the wave is just the ocean.
Yes.
But then the wave looks different. In the same way, Swami said, each of these waves of anger, of jealousy, of lust, of hatred, they are all waves. And if you decide to ride the wave, it is going to carry you and throw you backwards. If you have gone to a beach and experienced a wave there, we know that when the wave approaches us, if we ride the wave is going to throw us backwards, behind where we are actually standing. Mm-hmm. But if you stand your ground, I remember going to Marina Beach during my childhood days, and my parents would tell me, just stand long enough that your feet go into the sand. Right. You know,
yes.
They are so tightly locked inside the sand, then the subsequent waves would shake me, but they would not move me out of my place. Right? In the same way, Swami said, don't ride these waves of anger or jealousy or all these waves. Moment you get a thought associated with these things, just give it time.
Yes.
In time, all these will settle down. And a wave, when it settles down, what does it become? It becomes the water, which is the ocean.
Ocean.
So Swami said, in the same way, if you give it time, these waves of anger, of jealousy, of hatred, will settle down back to its nascent state, which is pure love.
Wonderful. In fact, I just want to connect to what Giridhar said. You know, Giridhar mentioned that all these different emotions, be it kama, krodha, lobha, they all originated from love.
Right.
And to me, what it occurs is, if you look at the Devi Bhagavatam, the Devi who is created by all the Devas, Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwara, and all the Devas actually give power to this Devi to annihilate two demons, Madhu and Kaitava. But if you see the story, from where did these demons emerge? They emerged from the dirt of the ear of Vishnu. These demons also came from Vishnu. So many times I feel, instead of developing a sort of aversion to any of these traits, because they are also in some ways God's creations, one way to look at it, I may be wrong, but it's just a thought, that, you know, you respect them. Just like a guest comes and is uninvited guest, but, you know, with prostrations, you just tell the guest, I respect you, whoever you are, but, you know, please do not come here. You know, this is not the place for you. It's a very polite and respectable way of not welcoming the guest. I don't know if that is one way of looking at it. But what I feel is, even if a thought comes, you, one way is just to ignore it. Another way is, just, you know, maintain a respectable distance. You respect it, but you don't encourage it.
Yeah, Vishu, actually I have a personal experience related to this. Related to the respecting, you know, these traits, kind of a thing. My experience was quite different.
Okay.
In the sense that, I did start with what you're saying. Way back in 2007, in a close meeting in Chennai, Swami had told us that drinking coffee is very bad for health.
Mm.
Right? And so that day onwards, it was playing on my mind that Swami said coffee is bad for health, so I should stop coffee. And I began to practice that slowly. I started off with, you know, respecting the temptation of drinking coffee.
Yeah.
So how did I deal with it? I said, okay, I will not drink coffee on a daily basis. I will be a social drinker of coffee.
Okay.
What that means is, you know, when my friends would call me for a cup of coffee, which I hope was once in a while or very rarely, I would go for a cup of coffee, but I wouldn't drink on a regular basis. That is what I planned for myself.
Okay.
You know, slowly I found that so many opportunities just sprung up where, you know, my friends were coming and asking me, why don't we go and have a cup of coffee? So I felt that, you know, this method of negotiation, or, you know, this kind
can
of...
can be very slippery.
Yeah, it can be tremendously slippery.
True.
But then I moved to the next kind of a methodology. What I did was, I started using Yukti, as Swami said. Yukti is basically intelligent means. So I told myself that I'm not supposed to have coffee, so let me have something which is not entirely coffee. So let me have maybe a mocha drink or a cappuccino or something like that.
Okay.
So I started drinking cappuccinos instead of coffee. So I would very proudly say, no, I don't take coffee anymore, but I would drink cappuccino, which is not entirely coffee,
yes.
Right? So even that, you know, can be slippery again.
Yes.
How I realized that was, there was a conference in the university, and a table was completely filled with, I think, 100 cups of coffee.
Okay.
Right, and the aroma, the fragrance of the coffee was so wonderful. You know, anybody in 100 meter perimeter wouldn't miss the aroma of that coffee. And I loved coffee at that point of time. I still do, but I am not attracted to it. What happened was, that is when I quickly recognized that both these methods of, you know, peaceful negotiation or some kind of intelligent means to,
yeah,
you know, overcome this kind of habits were not working.
Yes.
Then I started asking myself this question, why do I really want to stop having coffee? Then I realized maybe at some point of time, the temptation of coffee is so much that I'm not really concerned about my health versus drinking coffee. Right? Then I decided, let it not be about your health. Let it be a very simple thing. I love Swami, and Swami said, you know, coffee is bad for health. Just to make him happy, can I stop coffee? In fact, this change in attitude or the purpose behind stopping this habit helped me tremendously. And from that day on till today, yeah, which is like more than 6 years now, I have been free from coffee addiction. If I
congratulations. But what I want to add here, Giridhar, is when I said that you have to respect, I didn't mean that you have to negotiate. What I meant is just as you said now, I still do love coffee, but you don't drink. That is what I meant, in the sense that you don't sort of hate anything,
yeah,
but you don't allow them to come into you also.
That's
you don't, you just like Swami says, you should not hate anyone in this world. So that is the attitude what I was saying, wherein you don't encourage them to come into you, but you don't hate them either.
You know, Bishu, there are a couple of attitudes which has just come up right from the introduction up until now. Prem was mentioning about a way to overcome pride. And he said the way is, you know, to look at people who are better than you.
Small correction, I did not say it. Swami said, yeah, it in his discourse.
Of course, Swami mentioned that in his discourse.
I think if you have this attitude also, even if you find people with these attributes, you know, which we might think which are not good, you know, be it karma or krodha, then you won't hate them. Because, you know, they are just attributes. They are also creations of God. You don't judge people. Everything is fine. You don't encourage them.
Yeah.
You respect everything.
So, in these lines, actually, there are four qualities which Swami describes, which Swami says is fundamental human qualities. In fact, a couple of them have been mentioned, like, you know, as a preventive measure of pride, Swami had mentioned that we should look at people who are better than us and, you know, feel joyous about that.
Yes.
See them and, you know, look at them and feel how great they are and how they have achieved that. And that kind of a feeling can help us develop humility. In fact, Swami calls this particular quality as mudita.
Okay.
Right?
And it's a beautiful word.
Yeah, it's a beautiful word. We know the bhajan prema mudita.
Yes.
Mudita basically means a heart overflowing with joy, with love, right? And on seeing others,
yes,
who are better than us,
yes,
in some way or the other.
You see only the good in others.
Yeah. So now coming to the four qualities, human qualities, which Swami says are the basic human qualities. And in fact, it is so wonderful when I was going through this discourse of Bhagavan where Swami describes this, it is basically the four kinds of relationships that every single one of us have with the people around us. You know, the four qualities are Maitri, the first one. Maitri means friendship in a very simple layman's term. The second quality is Karuna or compassion. The third quality is mudita, which is the heart filled with joy on seeing somebody better than us in some field. And the fourth one is upeksha. Mm-hmm. Upeksha is non-attachment, or as Bishu just described, not to feel that kind of a hatred even towards adharmic people.
Yes.
So that is what is called as upeksha. Now, how do we develop these four kinds of relationships? First one is maitri, which is friendship. Swami, in that discourse, hopefully sometime we should get that discourse clip and play it. Swami says, friendship should be made only between absolute equals.
Yes.
Now, it is like next to impossible to find two people who are absolutely equal in every single way. You know, financially, in their attitudes, in their visions for life, whatever, in their tastes. Two people absolutely equal in all respects, it is almost impossible. But then Swami says that you must maintain your friendship only up to the point of equality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is, suppose, in fact, when I was mentioning this in the awareness class, one of the students asked, so sir, does it mean that we can never be friends with somebody, say, like Sachin Tendulkar? You know, I said, no, that's not true. Because there are points of equality that you might find with some great personality like even Sachin. For example, he is Bhagwan's devotee, you're Bhagwan's devotee.
You love cricket, he loves cricket.
Yeah, so on these lines, when you're sharing, say, experiences of Bhagwan or talking about Bhagwan, you could be friends.
Yes.
Because there is a point of equality to some extent there. But if you extend that beyond the realms, Swami says, what could happen is, when you have a friend, say, Swami gives the example of financial inequality. He says, when you have a friend who is, financially better placed than you, there might be some situation where he might impose himself on you or, you know, assert himself or something like that. And at that point, the friendship breaks. You know, Swami says that it is important that way. This is not just with respect to the financial inequality, but at any point of time in life, maintain the friendship only to the point of equality, where you see that we both have some commonality. Beyond that, don't extend the friendship. That is the first lesson in relationship which Swami gives with respect to Maitri. The second step or the second kind of relationship, Swami says, is Karuna. Now, friendship is with equals. Karuna is towards the lesser privileged people. That is, it is not a sense of sympathy or pity, so to speak. But Karuna is more like, you know, let me narrate a story which Swami gives to illustrate what is Karuna or Daya or compassion. Swami says that, you know, there is this small calf which is stuck in a pool of water, a slushy pool of water, and it is not able to come out, and it's really struggling, it's slipping. And there were a few street urchins who were watching this scene, and they were having, you know, peals of laughter, you know, and all that. And there was an ascetic who was passing by, and the ascetic sees this whole scene and immediately rushes to this calf, picks up the calf and puts it on a safe ground. And he's about to go when these children question him as to why did he do that, because that was their entertainment. They were having lots of fun seeing the calf, you know, struggling to come out, and they were wondering how would it ever come out. But at that time the ascetic gives a beautiful message, and Swami says the ascetic then tells the children that I did not do anything to remove the suffering of the calf. It's just simple. When I saw the calf suffering, I felt tremendous pain in my heart. That suffering, I experienced it myself. And all I did was whatever was required to be done to remove my own suffering. You know, that is why I went and pulled the calf out.
Wonderful.
Swami gives this analogy of the story and then says, Karuna or compassion should be like this. You must identify, though it is expressed towards people who are lesser privileged than us in that particular aspect, but it should not be with an attitude of pity, but rather I must be able to identify their problems or their suffering as my own and simply do what I need to do to alleviate my own suffering. So Swami says that is the second kind of relationship that you have. So friends on points of equality, karuna on those points where somebody is little lesser privileged than us in some way or the other. And the third one is mudita, as we discuss, Swami describes, that when you see somebody who is better than you, who's got more than you in certain respects, say you are good at music and you see somebody like Pandit Shukumar Sharma, who is a maestro in the field, you know. So what happens is you have reverence towards them. So that kind of a reverential attitude or joy on seeing such accomplished people helps you to learn from them. Right? So that is the third kind of relationship, which is mudita. And the fourth, Swami says, is upeksha, non-expectation. One, of course, is from people who are adharmic in nature. That is, people who don't follow the rules, say, you don't hate them completely, but at the same time, you do your duty. If you are a policeman, upeksha doesn't mean that you don't punish the thief.
Yes.
Punishment is by the law. For whatever he has done, he needs to be punished.
You hate his crime, but not him.
Yes. It's you punish the crime. You don't even hate the crime.
Yes.
Punish the crime.
Correct.
And not the person.
Correct.
Right? So that way, upeksha can be practiced. One step higher than that, Swami says, non-expectation even from dharmic people. If you find somebody who is righteous, who is a very good person in the society, don't expect that he will do something for you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So these are the four levels of relationship which Swami says.
Right, you know, we had different ways of handling our problems, you know. But one thing, one particular thing which was spoken about even today in the morning panel discussion was one of our students had a dream in which Swami comes and asks a Balvikas class. Swami asks them, what is that which is most necessary to do an activity, to complete a task? And most spontaneously, one boy got up and he said, Swami, confidence. And immediately the whole class broke into an applause, because that seemed to be the most apt answer that anybody could give. And everybody kind of appreciated that and acknowledged that. They didn't even give a chance for Swami to respond. You know, that was the scene this person was seeing in the dream. Swami smiled and Swami said, yes, confidence is important, but that's not the most essential. Swami said, the most essential is the will to do the act.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she, of course, narrates it in the context of Ichha Shakti, you know, the will to do. You know, whether you ignore the Arshad Vargas, you respect them as guests, or you ignore them as guests, and whatever it is, as long as the will which is behind whatever you're doing, you know, whichever process you're undertaking, the will is to, as Swami would say, Mumukshatvam, you know, what is said in Viveka Chudamani, the desire to liberate yourself or desire to experience that pure happiness. If that is the driving force, I think any of these methods can be taken.
Yes.
And as long as the goal is that, I think even if you slip here and there, you would always pick yourself up and move in the right direction.
Just one word here, Prem, before we move further. I just want to share what has worked for me in terms of mind control.
Mm-hmm.
And probably this will help someone else also. The simplest thing what has helped is Namasmarana.
Right.
Whenever anything comes which is perhaps not wanted, unwanted in your mind, if you can just pause and, you know, chant Bhagwan's name or chant any mantra that, you know, you have an affinity to, it will definitely still the mind, and you will, the mantra will give you the power to exercise your will.
Right.
Just like the Gayatri mantra, which has that potency to fill you with the power to bolster your mind to take this decision, because ultimately you have to exercise your will to control your senses. I think that is something which we all can possibly practice.
Right. So let's go to the clip which we'll be playing. This is, I think, will be the penultimate clip in that discourse, and at the end of it we'll discuss what Swami is sharing with us.
Inka Mudavadi. The third one, Karana Patana, Karana Paham. Karana Patana anaga yemti, Karanamo anaga indriyamudu.
Karana refers to instrument, indriya.
Apatana anaga daurbhalyam.
Apana means
weakness.
Weakness.
Kanuka indriyamu yokka balaheenate moodavadi.
The third one is the weakness of the senses.
ఇంద్రియములకు ఒక విధమైనటువంటి జబ్బు ఉంటుండాలి.
There is a particular type of disease, ailment.
ఈ జబ్బుతో కూడినటువంటి ఇంద్రియముల ద్వారా మనసు అనుభవిస్తుండాలి.
The mind is enjoying all the things through senses.
కనుకనే మైండ్ కూడాను ఒక రోగిగా మారిపోతుండాలి.
Mind also is getting diseased.
ఎట్టిది ఈ యొక్క ఇంద్రియములకు ఉండినటువంటి రోగము?
What are the types of ailments which these senses have?
ఇంద్రియములు ఏనాడు కూడాను ఉన్నది ఉండినట్టుగా చూపదు.
Senses can never show you the true color of the things.
సమయస్ఫూర్తిగా అతను ఇంద్రియములు ప్రవర్తిస్తుంటాయి.
The senses conduct themselves in the context.
కాంటెక్స్చువల్లీ చిన్న ఉదాహరణము,
వన్ స్మాల్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్.
ఒక గ్రామంలో ఒక పెద్ద రైతు ఉండినాడు.
దేర్ వాజ్ ఎ వెరీ బిగ్ ల్యాండ్ లార్డ్.
అతను అన్ని విధములుగా కూడాను ఆ గ్రామంలో పెద్ద.
హీ వాజ్ ఎ వెరీ ఇంపార్టెంట్ పర్సన్.
అదే గ్రామంలో మధ్యస్థితికి కలిగినటువంటి ఒక రైతు ఉన్నాడు.
దేర్ వాజ్ అనదర్ పర్సన్ హూ వాజ్ ఎ లిటిల్ లోవర్.
ఒకనాడు ఏదో బయట ప్రదేశం లోపల ఆ యొక్క గ్రామ పెద్ద అయినటువంటి యొక్క ఆ రెడ్డి యొక్క పశువులు, ఈ మధ్య స్థాయిలో ఉండేటువంటి వాడి పశువులు మేస్తూ ఉండినాయి.
ది అనిమల్స్ బిలాంగింగ్ టు ది హెడ్ ఆఫ్ దట్ విలేజ్ అండ్ అనదర్ ఫార్మర్ ఆఫ్ దట్ విలేజ్
చేత ఒకదానికొకటి పోట్లాటం ప్రారంభమైంది.
ఆన్ అకౌంట్ ఆఫ్ సమ్ ఇన్సిడెంట్ దే బిగాన్ ఫైటింగ్ అగెన్స్ట్ ఈచ్ అదర్.
ఈ యొక్క పోట్లాట లోపల ఏ యొక్క దీనిలో ఎక్కడ తగిలిందో, ఏ భాగంలో తగిలిందో, రెడ్డి గారి యొక్క ఎద్దు కింద పడి మరణించింది.
The bullock relating to this head of the village died on account of that fight.
ఈ మధ్య స్థాయిలో ఉండినటువంటి రైతు చాలా భయపడ్డాడు.
The other farmer was rather frightened.
ఈ గ్రామ పెద్ద ధనవంతుడు.
He is the head of the village.
Well, గొప్ప పేరు కలిగినటువంటి వాడు.
He has got a big name.
అతని ఎద్దును నా ఎద్దు పొడిచి చంపింది.
మై
ఈ గ్రామ పెద్ద నాకు ఏ విధమైనటువంటి శిక్షణ ఇస్తాడో ఏమిటో అని చాలా భయపడుకుంటూ పరుగెత్తి గ్రామ పెద్ద ఇంటికి వచ్చాడు.
హీ వాజ్ అఫ్రైడ్ దాట్ హీ మే బి పనిష్డ్ బై ది హెడ్ ఆఫ్ ది విలేజ్ అండ్ హీ ర్యాన్ టు ది హౌస్ ఆఫ్ ది హెడ్ ఆఫ్ ది విలేజ్.
ఈ భయం చేత నర్వస్నెస్, అదే ఒక బలహీనత.
హీ వాజ్ నర్వస్నెస్ ఆన్ అకౌంట్ ఆఫ్
వచ్చి చెప్పవలసిన దానికి విరుద్ధంగా చెప్పాడు పాపం.
హీ వాంటెడ్ టు కన్వే సంథింగ్ బట్ హీ కన్వేడ్ సంథింగ్ ఆపోజిట్ ఆఫ్ దాట్.
దొరగారు, మీ ఎద్దు మా ఎద్దును చంపేసింది పొడిచి అన్నాడు.
హీ సెడ్ ఓ ల్యాండ్ లార్డ్ యువర్ యానిమల్ హాస్ కిల్డ్ మై యానిమల్.
రెడ్డి గారు పరమశాంతంగా విన్నాడు.
రెడ్డి హర్డ్ దిస్ వెరీ పీస్ఫుల్లీ.
నాయన, తెలివితేటలు కలిగినటువంటి వారు, బుద్ధి కుసంత కలిగినటువంటి మానవులే ఒకరికొకరు చంపుకుంటున్నారు.
వెల్ చైల్డ్, people who are educated, who have got cleverness, they fight among themselves and sometimes kill each other.
Norli ani jantuvulu pasuvulu.
After all, the animals are dumb.
Ee vidyana pragnana sudhyanamulu ye matram kudanu levu.
They do not have any type of intelligence.
Pasuvulu okadaniki okati porchukoni champukunte evarem cheyagalaru?
When the animals fight among themselves and kill, who can be held responsible?
Ee matramu nee yochinchanakkaraledu nayana. దీని లోక సహజమే అని దాని శాంతంగా అతనికి జవాబు చెప్పాడు.
హీ సాటిస్ఫైడ్ హిమ్ ఇన్ ఎ పీస్ఫుల్ వే టెలింగ్, వెల్ దిస్ ఇస్ ఆల్ నేచురల్, డోంట్ గెట్ ఎక్సైటెడ్ అబౌట్.
ఈ రైతు చెప్పినటువంటి పొరపాటును గుర్తించుకున్నాడు.
బట్ దిస్ ఫార్మర్ రియలైజ్డ్ మిస్
దొరగారు, దొరగారు చాలా పొరపాటు చేశాను నేను, మా ఎద్దు మీ ఎద్దును చంపింది అన్నాడు.
ఓ మాస్టర్, ఐ కమిటెడ్ ఎ గ్రేట్ మిస్టేక్. Well, my animal has killed your animal.
Reddy garu udrekam pogi poyindi.
He was overwhelmed with excitement.
Nee talapokaru adhikamaipoyinda? Nenu evarani anukunnavu? Inta grama pedda ayinatundi naa eddu nee eddu champindatunte idi chaala pramadam. Neeku pogarekkipoyindi ahankaram nunchi inka kavalsani maatalanta aadesesi 500 rupees neeku julma annanu.
He became highly excited and said, how impertinent you are, how can your animal king my animal, and I am levying a fine of 500 rupees.
Tama yeddu itharu yeddunu podichindante idi sahajamu annadu. Itharu yeddunu tana yeddunu podichindante idi tappu antunnadu. ఈ విధమైనటువంటి యొక్క ఇంద్రియముల యొక్క సమయస్ఫూర్తిగా మార్పులు ఈ జగత్తు నుండి పెరిగిపోవటం చేతనే మంచి చెడ్డ, చెడ్డ మంచిగా మారిపోతున్నాయి.
యూ కెన్ సీ హౌ దీస్ పీపుల్ బిగాన్ డిఫెండింగ్ దెమ్సెల్వ్స్ అండ్ ది ప్లే ఆఫ్ ది సెన్సెస్, హౌ దే వర్ హెల్ప్ఫుల్ ఇన్ ఇంటర్ప్రిటింగ్ డిఫరెంట్లీ.
ఇంద్రియములకు ఒక విధమైనటువంటి జబ్బు ఉంటుండాలి.
Senses have therefore an ailment.
మనకు మలేరియా జ్వరం వచ్చింది.
There was malaria fever.
దీనికి పూర్వము నీవు ఏ పదార్థం తిండినా కారము కారము, ఉప్పు ఉప్పు, చేదు చేదు, ఈ విధంగా కనిపిస్తూ వచ్చాను తీపి తీపిగా.
బిఫోర్ యూ గాట్ ది మలేరియా ఫీవర్ ద టేస్ట్ వాజ్ రియలీ అప్రోప్రియేట్ ద వన్ విచ్ యూ టేస్టెడ్.
మలేరియా జ్వరం వచ్చినప్పుడు లడ్డు తిన్నా చేదుగానే ఉంటుండాలి.
బట్ ఆఫ్టర్ యూ గాట్ మలేరియా ఫీవర్ ఈవెన్ స్వీట్ లడ్డు వాజ్ బిల్
పదార్థ దోషమా? కాదు కాదు కాదు, నీ ఇంద్రియ దోషం.
Is it the defect of the object? No, it is the defect of your
manchi aarogyanga untunnappudu telupu telupu erupu erupu nalupu nalupu ga chustavu.
When you are healthy you see things as they are, red as
gani jaundice vachi deeniki vachindante anta pachaga ganipistundi.
But once you get jaundice everything looks yellow.
Adhe vidhamgane ee indriyamulaku rogamulto koodinatundi ganuka rogamulto koodinatundi indriyanni anusarinchatam cheta manasu kudunu oka roganga tayaravutundadi.
As the senses have certain diseases and limitations, when mind gets associated with them it also behaves in that particular
fashion. Karana paatham anaga indriyamulu yokka dosham cheta manavattam intavarku marugu padipothundadi.
Karana paatham means on account of the defects and weaknesses of the senses, mind and man also behaves
in a vipra lipsa ani.
Vipra lipsa is another.
Vipra lipsa anaga kevalamu orvaleni taramu asuya ani diniki artham.
Vipra lipsa means jealousy.
Ee asuya manavulaku chaala chedda gunam.
Jealousy is a very great weakness for man.
ఎవరైనా ఉన్నవారిని చూస్తే ఓర్వలేడు ఇతను.
When he sees someone who is better, he can never be happy.
ఈ విధంగా ఎవరైనా మంచితనం చూస్తే ఏమాత్రం కూడా సహించుకోలేడు.
When he comes across a good person, he can never feel satisfied with it.
ఈ లోకములో ఏ రోగమునకైనా కూడాను ఏ దేశం నందైనా కూడాను ఔషధం ఉండవచ్చునేమో కానీ ఈ అసూయ అనేటువంటి రోగమును నివారణ చేసేటువంటి ఔషధం ఏమాత్రము జగత్తులో లేవు.
దేర్ ఈస్ మెడిసిన్ ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్ ఫర్ ఎనీ టైప్ ఆఫ్ డిసీజ్ బట్ నాట్ ఫర్ జెలసీ.
కనుక ఇతరులు మంచిని చూచి కేవలం ఓర్చుకోలేకుండా పోవటము ఇది ఒక చెడ్డ గుణం.
నాట్ బీయింగ్ ఏబుల్ టు ఎంజాయ్ వెన్ సమ్ పీపుల్ ఆర్
మంచిని చూచి ఆనందించు.
వెన్ యూ సీ సమ్వన్ హ్యాపీ బీ హ్యాపీ.
ఆనందించేటువంటి వారిని చూసి నీవు కూడా ఆనందించు.
వెన్ సమ్ పీపుల్ గివ్ యూ జాయ్ ఆర్ హ్యాపీనెస్ యూ షుడ్ ఆల్సో
అంతేకాని వారిపైన వీరిపైన అసూయను నీవు అభివృద్ధి పరచుకోకూడదు.
వై షుడ్ యు డెవలప్ జెలసీ అగెన్స్ట్ దిస్?
నీకంటే ఎక్కువ మార్కులు వచ్చినటువంటి వారిని చూసి నీవు అసూయ పడవద్దు.
డూ నాట్ సఫర్ ఫ్రమ్ జెలసీ.
నాకు లేకపోయినా నా బ్రదర్ కి మంచి మార్క్స్ తీసుకున్నాడు అని ఆనందించు.
యూ ఎంజాయ్ సమ్వన్ గెట్స్ ఎ హైయర్ మార్క్ దాన్ యూ యాజ్ యువర్ బ్రదర్ హిమ్సెల్ఫ్ హెస్ గాట్ ఇట్.
అందరూ నా బ్రదర్సే.
Everyone is my brother.
Brotherhood of man, fatherhood of God. ఈ రకమైనటువంటి పవిత్రమైన భావాన్ని పెంచుకుంటూ పోవాలి.
Develop such sacred thoughts.
ఈనాడు ఈ అసూయ భావం రావడానికి కారణమేమిటి?
What is the reason for developing jealousy?
స్వార్థము స్వార్థము.
Selfishness.
ఈ స్వార్థం అనేటువంటి విద్యార్థులు ఎట్లా ఉన్నది?
In what forum does selfishness exist in students?
మీరు ఎక్కడైనా ఒక బస్సు కొని మీరు బయలుదేరిపోతే ఎంతో మంది వృద్ధులు, స్త్రీలు, పిల్లలు, సిక్ పేషెంట్ అంతా కూడా ఉంటుంటారు ఆ యొక్క క్యూలో.
యూ వాంట్ టు బోర్డ్ ఎ బస్, యూ కమ్ అక్రాస్ విమెన్, చిల్డ్రన్ అండ్ పీపుల్ హూ ఆర్ ఓల్డ్ అండ్ హూ
విద్యార్థివి, దృఢ శరీరము కలిగినటువంటి వాడవు. నీవు వచ్చి ఓపిక పట్టుకుని అయ్యో పాపం వారికి చిక్కని ఆ సీటు అని ఏమాత్రమైన విశాల భావం ఉంటుందా? లేదు లేదు, ఆ బస్సులో నాకే మొట్టమొదటి సీట్ చిక్కాలి, ఇతరులు ఏమైనా అయిపోయి ఇన్ని విధమైన స్వార్థం ఉండటం చేతనే అసూయ పెరిగిపోతుంటుండాలి.
యు ఆర్ ఇన్ యువర్ యూత్, యువర్ బాడీ ఈజ్ స్ట్రాంగ్, యూ షుడ్ సే లెట్ దోస్ వీక్ పీపుల్ గెట్ ఎ సీట్ బట్ యూ డోంట్ డూ ఇట్.
శక్తిహీనులకు, బాలులకు, స్త్రీలకు మొట్టమొదటి అవకాశం అందించు.
గివ్ ఎన్ ఆపర్చునిటీ ఫస్ట్ ఫర్ ది వీకర్ పీపుల్, ది లేడీస్, చిల్డ్రన్.
సరే, లేకపోతే కొంచెం దూరం నడుచు, మంచి ఎక్సర్సైజ్.
ఇఫ్ యూ గెట్ ఎ సీట్ well it is okay, if you don't get walk a little distance.
ee nadakadam valla rendu vidhamainaatundi anukoolam jarugutundadi, aadayam vastundadi.
You get two benefits by this kind of walking a little distance.
Walk cheyatam valla shariram yokka kasaratthu kuda jarugutundi.
By that walking you get a
mile duram nadakadante aa mile duram charge kuda neelo migulutundi.
And also you save the bus fare for that particular mile which you walk.
ee vidhamaina vishala bhavanni penchukovali.
develop this kind of broad-mindedness.
So that was a clip, and I think many of the points which we discussed before we played that clip were featured in that part of the discourse where Swami spoke, especially about countering jealousy. And I think as students we all have seen how literally allergic Swami was to this idea of jealousy. And you know, especially when Swami was the most cherished wealth.
Yes.
And we used to be so jealous about his time being given to somebody else. And one of the things which we used to tell ourselves as students is a sublimating of some of these things. That's one of the points which both of you were mentioning. Sublimating some of the vices which are there in us. And in that they used to say that yes, you are jealous when, you know, you are not getting Swami's time and Swami is giving it to somebody. Don't ask why him. Instead ask why not me. And that is a way of turning inward and doing what is spiritually necessary to be worthy of that, receiving that from Swami.
In fact, it is so beautiful that in Kodaikanal, Swami actually demonstrated this.
Mm-hmm.
He called one of the students and he was holding his hand and walking around, you know, and he was looking at everybody's faces. And then Swami said, you're feeling jealous that this boy is holding my hand. And then Swami said, how do you sublimate this feeling? Swami said, see, all of you, when you see this boy holding my hand, you have this yearning to hold Swami's hand. So Swami said, focus on that yearning.
Wow.
Right? Swami said, focus on that yearning, and that yearning will take you to higher levels.
In fact, I'm reminded of my first year in Sri Sathya Sai Higher Secondary School.
Mm-hmm.
One afternoon, I saw this brother of mine who was staying in my room come into the room so jubilant. He was so happy. And, you know, his happiness was like unbounded. And when I asked him what was the occasion, he mentioned about another boy who had achieved something. He had got first prize in something. And that brother was not a friend of this brother who was so happy. Both of them had nothing to say that they are fast friends, or is not like his partner in studies or nothing of that sort. For the first time actually in my life, I saw someone so happy for someone else's
success.
Frankly, I was taken aback. As an 11th class boy, I in fact, for a long time I was thinking, why this fellow is so happy? Aray, that brother got something, why is this boy happy? It took me actually at that time.
Which really, you know, that's what beats the reasoning. You know, you think of it, we all want to be happy.
Yes.
And if we can develop this idea of being happy at anybody's success, yes, we can be happy all the time.
All the time.
You know, that's what we want to be.
Yes.
And,
yes.
But, you know, it beats the reason why we don't do that and why we feel that I'm happy only when I'm happy and when good things happen to me.
You will always be happy because someone else is anyway, there's someone in the world who's happy.
Somebody or the other is winning the race.
Yes.
You know, even if you're losing the race, someone is winning the race. Someone has to come first. Someone has to get the top rank. Because that comes later in the discourse. The first part is this beautiful story, you know, wonder of wonders how Swami can put profound messages and pack them in such sweet stories.
Really.
But one thing which Swami says in this is, you know, when we spoke about it the last week, where you're happy to possess something, and even if it is in front of you, even if, let's say, I like a particular car I'm very fond of, even if my neighbor is going to come and park the car in my compound, you know, that's not going to give me the joy of possessing that thing. And that is what it is. When that association comes, when that possessiveness comes, our morals are distorted, our decision making is distorted, the stance which we take is distorted, like the story which Swami is saying here. You know, at one moment you're in a moral high ground, the moment the associations change, you know, my cow becomes his cow and his cow becomes my cow. You go back on your words and you actually just step down from the moral high ground which you have stood on. And you know, that's a very interesting thing, because if you look at some of the lives of some great people, Ramana Maharishi, Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, Swami, our Swami, I'm not comparing Swami with the other people who are elevated masters. Swami is definitely beyond them. But one thing which is common in any of these masters' lives is they all would have gone through some bit of physical suffering. You know, because when you look at it, Ramana Maharshi, somebody like Ramana, he always said that you're not the body. So when people come to Ramana with body ailments and pain in their body, and Ramana would have told them that you're not the body, they would say, what do you know about body pain? You know, what authority do you have to tell me that I'm not the body and you have to go and transcend pain? So it became mandatory for them to go through that bit of physical pain, from where they had to show by practice and show by example that yes, I too have a body, I too have a pain, but I'm not this body, and so I will not be affected by the pain.
In fact, in the specific case of Ramana Maharshi, worms were eating up his body, you know, to that extent, and he was absolutely detached from the identification with the body.
And, you know, in fact, Swami, he used to say that, and that's a very profound way, when people used to ask him, you know, Bhagwan, don't you have pain? He'd say, the body has the pain. Because, you know, through our childhood and through our schooling, we are constantly, linguistically, scientifically, and through the interactions in society, we always associate that I and me and you with only the body. You know, I am having pain, I am not happy, and shirt is not fitting me. So always we are saying that this yes. I is only the body.
Yes.
So Ramana, even in talking, even the normal this one, he always said that no, the body is having the pain.
But the only person we have heard who always referred to himself as Ideham was Bhagwan. He always said Ideham. Even mother, Swami referred to as Grihamammai. And whenever, and you saw the same thing echo in Bhagwan's life too. Whenever, you know, people said, Swami, you must be suffering. Swami said, pain may be there, but I am not suffering. There is no suffering. And on another occasion, he said, you know, it is not Shama, it is Prema. It is all his love. So I think we have seen that in Bhagwan.
The beauty of that is, you cannot take this only in an intellectual level with Swami. And Swami would come and ask you, where are you from? We said, this body is from Chennai. And we've seen that also, when it is a very hollow answer.
Yes, when it's a hollow answer.
And I've also seen that a classmate of mine, you know, he was showing pictures of the interview which Swami gave his family. You know, the interview was given a few years back, and he just happened to bring that album. And that day Swami just came by, and he thought, why not show Swami? And he got up and he showed Swami. A very sweet moment where Swami was also recollecting with the boy the time which Swami spent with that family. And you know, Swami pointed to the mother in the photograph and he asked, who is this? And the boy said that, you know, I didn't think of it. I just said, Swami, this body is mother. Okay, and he didn't say that, you know, I knew that that was a politically correct answer to give. He said, it just came from within. And he said, Swami was very happy when he said that. Wow. Swami said, good boy.
Wonderful. In fact, there's one humorous incident in Vrindavan one day. I think Swami came out for darshan and there's few boys standing, and Swami asked, who am I? You know, so there is someone who said, Swami, you're God. There is someone who said, Swami, you're Shiva Shakti, etc., etc. And, you know, then Swami asked, who are you? So, you know, so all those answers, not convincing. So finally one boy thought, you know, let me just make you this opportunity and tell the answer that Swami wants to hear, you know. So he said, Swami, I am you. You know, we are same. And Swami said, oh, in that case, why don't you go out and give darshan? So, I think as you mentioned, whenever it happened from a space that was not convinced of what he was saying, I think Swami also reacted in that particular manner.
Very true. I have an incident, similar, very funny personal incident. It so happened that I was in my second year undergraduate, and that day we were sitting in the first line for darshan, and Swami used to spend close to 1 hour, 1.5 hours, you know, talking to the students and staff those days. And one day Swami just looked at me and asked, where are you from? I said, Swami, I'm from you.
Okay.
He said, ekkadi nunchi vachavu? He changed the question in Telugu. I said,
from which Swami, place have you come?
Which place have you come in Telugu? I said, Swami, from you again. Swami said, then he rephrased it and said, E Uru. That is, you know, which city, literally, you know. So I cannot give the same answer again. So I said, Swami, from Chennai. He said, Abba. What you can say in a very simple way, he touched his nose directly and he put his hand around his head and touched the nose and said, you're saying it this way, you know. And he said, Anta Einstein Buddhi, Anta Einstein Buddhi. That is what Swami said. As you said, if it doesn't come from the point of conviction from inside, Swami would discourage that. But he would always encourage when even there is a seed of that feeling in you, he would definitely give.
But there are so many instances when boys have given those answers and Swami has immediately given them namaskaram.
Yeah.
When it came from that space of conviction.
And when I hear this discourse and Swami is talking about the senses not being true to their, as true as you believe them to be. And Swami is giving the example of that malaria can change your taste. It does not give you the actual taste of the object that you eat. You know, all said and done, as I was saying, that will to find out all these things. You know, who would sit and think that, am I actually seeing what I'm seeing? Are the eyes actually showing me what is in front of me? Or is it that my mind is playing with it? You know, a certain amount of inquiry needs to happen even to think of all these things. You know, I'm just tempted to ask you, Giridhar, you are with the students in the university. How do you explain this to students? You know, how do you get them to think like this? You know, are they? Do you find that students are readily into such things, kind of inquiry or deeper thought?
See, our fundamental premise when I personally deal with students is Swami has always told that students are Maharishi Tattvas.
Mm-hmm.
And in general, Swami has told all of us are Divyatma Swarupas, that is, we are the embodiments of Atma. There are two ways we can approach. We can always find faults with others or see, you know, that this person is not up to the mark and all that and keep trying to find out remedial measures. But in my own little experience, what I found was the approach of starting with absolute positive frame of mind. That is, to first consider that, yes, Swami has told they are all Maharishi Tattvas. So let me start off from there. You know, for some reason they might not be manifesting those behaviors. So let me build an ambience for them to manifest those qualities. In fact, if you see the entire system of education, the hostel, everything that Swami has personally designed is simply a medium to create that kind of an ambience where these good qualities automatically manifest. They don't have a choice. If you go through a system, automatically the good qualities will manifest because they are there in you already. It's
correct.
Not that the good qualities are imbibed from outside. For example, Swami always used to say, values are never taught. Values are always caught.
Yes.
Right? It is caught because they see you behave and that leaves a deep impression or that triggers of something within them.
Yes.
It is not that they are seeing you and imitating you or something like that. It's basically there is something within them, that goodness within them. When they see somebody capable of exhibiting that goodness, that same goodness which is inside of them simply starts sprouting.
Yes.
Right? So this is the simple philosophy that we use. That start with the premise that they are Maharishi Tattvas. So love them unconditionally. In fact, I remember one of our elders telling us that Swami had guided that warden of the campus, saying that, see, fundamentally you should have love for students. Unless you have love, you don't have the right to correct them.
Correct.
You know, it becomes an ego affair otherwise. Most places we see that. When it comes down to rules, it is a pure ego affair. It means you have not listened to me, you have not done what I have said. It goes that way. But what Swami said is, fundamentally love them unconditionally, right? So that could manifest in many ways, right? It could be punishment sometimes, it could be reward sometimes,
right.
But both are coming out of love for them, genuine love for them. So I think this is how we
work. I think it's a very important point which you said, because that's something which Swami has said in other occasions too. You need to show people that values work. You need to show that happiness can be found by these means. That's what has been forgotten. It's a forgotten path, as you say. You know, people have to be infused with the belief that spirituality does work and spirituality does give you not only happiness, but even worldly success. You know, you can be a better person by these techniques which Swami is teaching us, mind control, stability of the mind, one-pointedness. These are all as much required for success in worldly activities as much in spiritual activities. So as you said, to give people the belief that it works and to be models in front of them is the most important thing. Adarshavantalu kavali. That's what Swami used to say.
In fact, Swami used to say, we don't want teachers, we want acharyas. And Swami used to define acharya.
Yes.
He said, one who practices, acharanamulo pettina vale acharyulu.
Correct.
That is, those who would practice what they are trying to implement in the students or bring out in the students, they are acharyas.
The greatest example was Bhagwan himself. Right. When if you see, if Bhagwan has been transforming and he's transformed dozens and then hundreds of thousands of boys, it is only because of that unconditional love. Right. Bhagwan would put you through so much of sort of grind, but you know, your love only increased for him. And same thing, once I was talking to Silas sir, who teaches in the school, and you know, there were times when he actually punished some of the boys severely for some act that they have done there. But the boys never developed any sort of anger for the teacher, you know, because they always knew that the teacher is operating from a point of deep love for him. They were so convinced that they never developed hatred. In fact, the boys later came and, you know, they reformed themselves, and then the later years they came and offered their gratitude to the teachers. So I think that is so important. As you mentioned, the moment you do something with your love.
Saying Acharya, you know, and the ones who put into practice, putting it in Kasturi's words, he says, stop being Chatterjees and become Banerjees.
Yes.
You know, inimicable Kasturi. I think we have one last clip, which is about 8 minutes. Maybe with that, this discourse comes to a conclusion. We'll play that clip out.
ఎగ్జామినేషన్స్ అయిన తర్వాత రిజల్ట్స్ వస్తుంటుంటాయి పేపర్స్ లో.
ఆఫ్టర్ ది ఎగ్జామినేషన్స్ ఆర్ ఓవర్ రిజల్ట్స్ ఆర్ డిక్లేర్డ్.
పెద్ద 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 పేజీలు, 3-4 పేజీల కంటే వస్తుంటుంటాయి కొన్ని లక్షల రిజల్ట్స్.
Lacks of results and numbers are printed in 3-4 pages of the newspaper. He is concerned only about his number.
ఆ యొక్క లేక ఇండియన్ ఎక్స్ప్రెస్లో, ఇండియన్ ప్రభలో, ఇంకే విధమైనటువంటి హిందూలో ఏదో ఒకటి తెరిచి చూసినప్పుడు ఎన్నో నంబర్స్ కనిపిస్తాయి.
వెన్ యూ ఓపెన్ ది న్యూస్ పేపర్, బీట్ ఇండియన్ ఎక్స్ప్రెస్ ఆర్ హిందూ, యు సీ సో మెనీ నంబర్స్.
నిజంగా ఆ యొక్క నంబర్స్ చూస్తే ఎంత ఆనందం పడాలి.
బట్ వెన్ యూ సీ సో మెనీ నంబర్స్, హౌ హ్యాపీ,
ఇంత మంది పాస్ అయిపోయినారా అని ఆనందించవచ్చు.
Should be overjoyed with the feeling that so many people
are passed.
But selfish people will never
in
have
the number lo na number unda na number unda ani dani vetukutu pothuntadu.
In the midst of so many innumerable numbers, you are looking for your
own. Anandinchu tarvata nee number vetukku, tappu ledu.
First you enjoy, then you can search for your own number.
Kaani ye matram anta vishala bhavam raavatam ledu.
But people do not have such broad minded
vidyarthulara. Motta mota ఈ విధమైనటువంటి అసూయ భావాన్ని కూడా మొట్టమొదట మనం నిర్మూలన చేసుకోవాలి.
డెస్ట్రాయ్ ఇన్ ది వెరీ ఫస్ట్ ఇన్స్టెన్స్ జెలసీ ఇన్ యూ డియర్ స్టూడెంట్.
నీవు పరిశుద్ధాత్మ స్వరూపుడవు.
యు ఆర్ ది వెరీ ఎంబాడిమెంట్ ఆఫ్ ప్యూర్.
ఇదే వేదము నిన్ను వర్ణిస్తుంది. అది
దిస్ ఇస్
హన్మంత విశ్వే అమృతస్య పుత్రః, నీవు అమృత పుత్రుడవు నాయన అని వర్ణిస్తుంది.
వేదాస్ హావ్ డిక్లేర్డ్ వెల్ చైల్డ్ యు ఆర్ ది చిల్డ్రన్ ఆఫ్ ఇమ్మోర్టాలిటీ.
కనుక నీవు విశాలమైన భావాన్ని అభివృద్ధి పరచుకో.
డెవలప్ బ్రాడ్ మైండెడ్నెస్.
ఈ ఇంద్రియముల యొక్క చంచలత్వాన్ని కొంతవరకు సరైనటువంటి స్థితిలో పెట్టుకో.
రెడ్యూస్ ది అన్స్టడీనెస్ అండ్ ఇంక్రీజ్ ది స్టడీనెస్ ఆఫ్ ద సెన్సెస్.
తద్వారా నీ మానసిక శుద్ధి కూడా ఏర్పడుతుంది.
దాట్ విల్ గివ్ యూ ప్యూరిటీ ఆఫ్ మైండ్.
అప్పుడే త్రికరణ శుద్ధి కలిగినట్టు మానవుడిగా తయారవుతావు.
దెన్ ఓన్లీ యూ విల్ బి ఎ మ్యాన్ విత్ ప్యూరిటీ ఆఫ్ త్రికరణ, త్రీ ఇన్స్ట్రుమెంట్స్.
కనుక మనస్సునందున్నటువంటి మాలిన్యాన్ని, అంతఃకరణ పట్టినటువంటి యొక్క మాలిన్యాన్ని మనము నిర్మూలము గావించుకోవాలంటే సత్కర్మలు, సద్బుద్ధి, సదాలోచన, సచ్చింతన చేత, సత్కర్మల చేత దీనిని పరిశుద్ధం చేసుకోవచ్చు.
ఇఫ్ యు వాంట్ టు రిమూవ్ ది డర్ట్ విచ్ హస్ అక్యుములేటెడ్ ఆన్ యువర్ మైండ్ అండ్ అంతఃకరణ త్రూ గుడ్ డీడ్స్, గుడ్ థాట్స్, గుడ్ వర్డ్స్, గుడ్ యాక్షన్, యూ కెన్ రిమూవ్ దట్ అండ్ ప్యూరిఫై యువర్ ఓన్.
కనుకనే నీవు చెడ్డను చూడొద్దు, మంచిని చూడు అన్నారు.
డూ నాట్ సీ
చెడ్డను వినొద్దు, మంచిని విను అన్నారు.
Do not hear bad things, hear good things only.
ఈ విధమైనటువంటి యొక్క భావాలను మనం మొట్టమొదట అభివృద్ధి పరచుకోవాలి.
Develop such sacred feelings.
చిత్తశుద్ధికి కావాల్సినటువంటి యొక్క మ్యాటర్ ఒక్కటే ఉంటుండాలి.
there is only one thing which is important,
see
the purity.
See no evil, see what is good. Hear no evil, hear what is good. Think no evil, think what is good. Talk no evil, talk what is good. Do no evil, do what is good. ఇదే పంచభూతములు, పంచప్రాణములు, పంచేంద్రియముల యొక్క ప్రసాదములు. ఈ ప్రసాదాన్ని మనము అభివృద్ధి పరచుకుంటే మన చిత్తశుద్ధి కలుగుతుంది, జ్ఞాన సిద్ధి కూడా లభిస్తుంది, దివ్యమైనటువంటి యొక్క ఆనందాన్ని అనుభవించగలము.
బై దిస్ పర్టికులర్ ప్రాసెస్ యూ కెన్ ప్యూరిఫై యువర్ హార్ట్ అండ్ యూ కెన్ ఆల్సో ఎంజాయ్ ది బ్లిస్ ఆఫ్ విజ్డమ్ అండ్ మేక్ యువర్ లైఫ్ వర్ది అండ్ హ్యాపీ.
కనుక విద్యార్థులారా, మనసు స్వతసిద్ధంగా చూడలేదు.
Mind by itself cannot see.
Chuchedanta indriyulu dwarane chustunda.
It can see only through senses.
Sota siddhanga maatadaledu. Indriyulu dwarane maatadutundadi.
Only through senses it can talk.
Kanuka indriyani sarein reetiga mana unchukunte manasu parishuddhamaindigane roopondutundi.
Use the senses properly, mind will always be pure.
Kanuka yuvakulaina meeru deha shakti, manas shakti, ఆధ్యాత్మిక శక్తి, ఇంద్రియ శక్తి అన్ని గట్టిగా ఉండినటువంటి ఈ వయసు నుండి మీరు వీటిని అరికట్టలేకపోతే వృద్ధాప్యంలో మీరు ఏ రీతిగా అరికట్టగలరు?
ఇన్ దిస్ యూత్ వెన్ యు హావ్ గాట్ ది స్ట్రెంగ్త్ ఆఫ్ ది బాడీ, స్ట్రెంగ్త్ ఆఫ్ ది మైండ్, స్ట్రెంగ్త్ ఆఫ్ ది ఇంటెలిజెన్స్, స్ట్రెంగ్త్ ఆఫ్ ఆత్మ,
ఇప్పుడే దైవానుగ్రహాన్ని మనం అధికంగా సంపాదించుకోవాలి.
దిస్ ఇస్ ద బెస్ట్ టైం టు ఎర్న్ ద గ్రేస్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్.
వర్షకాలం లోపల చెరువుకంతా నీరు నింపుకున్నప్పుడే ఎండాకాలంలో ఆ యొక్క నీరునంతా ఉపయోగపెట్టుకోవచ్చు.
డ్యూరింగ్ రెయిని సీజన్ యూ హావ్ టు కలెక్ట్ వాటర్ ఇన్ ద ట్యాంక్ సో దట్ యూ కెన్ యూజ్ ఇట్ డ్యూరింగ్ సమ్మర్.
కనుకనే ఇది మంచి సీజన్ మీకు.
దిస్ ఇస్ ది బెస్ట్ సీజన్.
ఈ వయసు లోపల మీకు అనుగ్రహ సారాన్ని మనం అభివృద్ధి పరచుకోవాలి, హృదయాలకు నింపుకోవాలి.
ఇన్ దిస్ ఏజ్ అలోన్ యూ హావ్ టు ఫిల్ యువర్ హార్ట్స్ విత్ డివైన్ గ్రేస్.
ఇప్పుడు మీరు దీనిని అభివృద్ధి పరచుకున్నప్పుడే భవిష్యత్తులో దీనిని సద్వినియోగం చేసుకోవడానికి అవకాశం లభిస్తుంది.
ఇఫ్ యూ కెన్ ఎర్న్ గ్రేస్ నౌ, యూ కెన్ యూజ్ ఇట్ ఇన్ ఫ్యూచర్ ఫర్ యువర్ ఓన్ గుడ్ అండ్ బెనిఫిట్.
కనుక భగవత్ ప్రేమను పెంచుకోండి.
డెవలప్ లవ్ ఫర్ గాడ్.
భగవంతుడు సర్వుడు యందు ఉంటున్నాడనే విశాలతను మనం అభివృద్ధి పరచుకోవాలి.
హ్యావ్ ఫర్మ్ ఫెయిత్ దట్ గాడ్ డ్వెల్స్ ఇన్ ఎవ్రీ వన్.
కనుక భగవంతుడు ఏనాడు కూడా మిమ్మల్ని మరవడు.
గాడ్ విల్ నెవర్ ఫర్గెట్.
కానీ మర్చేది భక్తుడే.
ఇట్ ఇస్ ది డివోటీ హూ ఫర్గెట్స్.
గాడ్ నెవర్ లీవ్స్ హిజ్ డివోటీస్. ఓన్లీ డివోటీస్ లీవ్స్ హిజ్ గాడ్. గాడ్ నెవర్ గోస్ అవే ఫ్రమ్ హిజ్ డివోటీ, బట్ డివోటీస్ గోయింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ హిజ్ గాడ్. పోయేదంతా భగవంతుడే కాదనుకుంటారు, కానీ భగవంతుడు పోవటం లేదు, భక్తులే పోతున్నారు. భగవంతుడు విడచటం లేదు, భక్తులే విడుస్తున్నారు. ఈ సత్యాన్ని మీరు గుర్తించుకోలేకపోతున్నారు. లోక వాసనల చేత, లోక భ్రాంతుల చేత, లోక విషయాల చేత, కేవలము వారిని కట్టబడటం చేత మానవత్వము ఇంత బంధింపబడిపోతుంటుండాలి.
స్వేర్డ్ బై ది వర్ల్డ్లీ ఆబ్జెక్ట్స్ అండ్ సెన్స్ ఆర్గన్స్ అండ్ దర్ టెంప్టేషన్స్ యూ థింక్ దట్ గాడ్ ఈజ్ లీవింగ్. గాడ్ నెవర్ లీవ్స్ ఎ డివోటీ. డివోటీ ఓన్లీ లీవ్స్ గాడ్. గాడ్ విల్ నెవర్ ఫర్గెట్ devotee. Devotees only will forget God. On account of the power of delusion and the impact of the maya, you think that way.
Kanuka mee satyanni meeru gurtinchukondi.
Recognize and realize your own truth.
Adi nijamainatti conscience.
That is real conscience.
Adi mee witness.
And that is the real witness.
Daarini tripti parchukunte jeevithamanta tripti avutundi.
Satisfy your conscience, your life will be sanctified.
Vidyarthulara, ఈ 5 దినముల నుంచి శరీరమును, ఇంద్రియములను, మనస్సును గురించి మనం కొంతవరకు తెలుసుకోవటానికి ఉనుకున్నాం. కానీ ఈ రకమైనటువంటి యొక్క విషయాలు మీరు గుర్తించుకున్నప్పుడే జీవితం అంటే ఏమిటి అనేటువంటి విషయం చక్కగా మీకు సుస్పష్టమవుతుంది.
డియర్ స్టూడెంట్స్, ఫర్ ది పాస్ట్ 5 డేస్ వీఆర్ ట్రైంగ్ టు అండర్స్టాండ్ ది ఫిజికల్ బాడీ, ది సెన్సెస్, ద మైండ్. Only when you understand this properly, life becomes enjoyable and reveals its own mysteries.
Buddhini gurinchi manam gurtinchali.
We have to understand intelligence.
Idiye chala pradhanamainukuntadi.
This is a very important thing.
Tank lo neelu untunte tap lo neelu vadalachu.
If there is water in the tank, you can get it through tap.
Kanuka dehamu, manassu, indriyamulu ivanni taps. కానీ బుద్ధి ట్యాంక్.
బాడీ, సెన్సెస్ అండ్ మైండ్ ఆర్ లైక్ ట్యాప్స్.
ఈ ట్యాంక్ లో ఎలాంటి నీరు నింపుకుంటామో ట్యాప్స్ లో అలాంటి నీరే వస్తుంటాయి.
Whatever water you fill in the tank, the same water flows through the taps.
దీనిని పురస్కరించుకునే వేదాంతం యద్భావం తద్భవతి అన్నారు.
దాట్ ఈస్ ది మీనింగ్ ఆఫ్ ది డిక్లరేషన్.
కనుక ఈ అన్నింటికీ మూలాధారమైనటువంటి యొక్క ఈ ట్యాంక్ ను గురించి మున్ముందు మనం ఉచ్చటించుకుందాం.
ది ట్యాంక్ విచ్ ఇస్ సచ్ అన్ ఇంపార్టెంట్ థింగ్ విల్ డిస్కస్ అండ్ ట్రై టు నో ఇన్ ఫ్యూచర్.
దట్ వాస్ ది ఎండ్ ఆఫ్ దట్ డిస్కస్. అండ్ యాజ్ ఆల్వేస్ స్వామి లీవ్స్ ఎ బ్యూటిఫుల్ ట్రైల్ ఫర్ వాట్ ఇస్ టు ఫాలో. Speaks about buddhi, which is going to follow. Before that, this clip also Swami begins by emphasizing the need to vanquish jealousy, and you know, from there Swami beautifully carries it on to the three things which will help you deal with this mind. He says develop broad-mindedness, that will lead to stability of the mind, and that will eventually lead to purification of the mind. And that is why jealousy is something which you have to give up. And then Swami is saying that Satchintana, Satbuddhi and Satkarma, this is the only way to purify the mind. Because that's something which Swami has told in this discourse and the previous one. The mind has no form of its own. The mind does not have something which you can catch, and if it's a little child you can catch and reform it. But this mind has no form. The only access we have to the mind is through these actions. And the way you speak, the way you talk, the way you think, the feelings that arise in you. And that is the only way you can actually deal with it. So, Satkarma, Satbuddhi, Satchintana.
Yeah, in fact, Swami makes it very clear that the way to God is to see good, hear good, speak good, think good,
yes,
feel good. And unless the inputs are good, like in the last discussion we had, that the four-step process of Tyaja Durjana Samsargambhadasa, the first step, which is not allowing any evil or bad tendencies and qualities and impressions to enter us, is the fundamental step. And Swami says, if you do that itself, it's a huge step towards God.
Yes, and I think what Bhagwan mentioned in the initial part of the discourse here, Swami mentioned about abhyasa. I think that is so important. The practice, you... along with abhyasa, Swami mentioned vairagya. But talking about abhyasa, I'm just reminded of a story.
Mm-hmm.
There is this grandfather who tells this little one, the grandson, to go to the water stream nearby and get some water in a basket.
Mm-hmm.
So the little fellow takes this basket and goes down, and which is a few meters away. He picks this water in this basket and he comes back to the grandfather. The grandfather says, no, there is so little water in the basket, everything is drained out on the way. You need to go and get it again. So this fellow rushes down again and he runs faster this time and gets water. But still again, there is so little water. And this fellow says, grandfather, I don't want to get water in this basket, small basket. I need to take a bucket. If you want really water, I can't get water here. The grandfather says, no, I want you to get in this basket only. You take this basket, doesn't matter. So he again goes, grandfather says, you're not running fast. You know what, you should be more energetic. So he comes back and again there is very little water. And then this grandson gets so frustrated. He says, what is this, grandpa? I mean, how many times you want me to go down and this basket is such, I'm not able to get any water. Everything leaks because there are a lot of holes in this basket. So what is the point? Then the grandfather says, you remember what you asked me before the grandfather sent him for this exercise? This grandson had asked the grandfather this question. Grandpa, every day you ask me to read the Bhagavad Gita. But I read the Bhagavad Gita and I don't remember anything. It just flows. I don't really get anything. I finish reading it, and when I think about it, I have not got anything out of it. I have forgotten everything. What is the point of reading the Bhagavad Gita again and again? That is the time when grandfather asks him to start this exercise. And when he comes back, now the grandfather says, okay, little one, now look at the basket. The basket, which was earlier black in color with soot and dirt, now was clean. That is what the grandfather said. See, that is what reading the Bhagavad Gita will do. You read continuously, doesn't matter whether you understand or not. That is what is with every spiritual practice, be it bhajans, be it listening to Bhagwan discourses, shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam, or be it anything, you have to continuously keep doing, because you don't know how it cleanses your inner being, how it cleanses and purifies your minds, your senses.
The other message which I get from that story is, either you know why you're doing something what you're doing, or you have somebody who is very clear of why he's making you do a certain thing.
You just follow.
And that's the beauty of
you
having...
You place the faith on it.
Right. That's the beauty of having Swami. And, you know, towards the end of this clip, that's what Swami says, that God will never forsake you.
Yes.
Because God is not somebody who can leave you and go. And that's the predicament maybe God is stuck up with. Because God is us and
to
He
our
is
advantage.
Our true self. And there is no way of we escaping from Him or He escaping from us.
In fact, in a Kodaikanal trip, Swami had very mysteriously brought one of his former students into the trip much later. That is, he did not join the group from the beginning. Swami had asked him to bring some things to Kodai from Parthi, and that's how he joined the group. And when he was seated in the dining hall along with all others for the evening snack session, and Swami was going around, Swami looked at him and said, I know I have taken you with me 25 years back, to the trip to Kashmir. And Swami said, I know it's been 25 years since I have taken you with me. But remember one thing, Swami said in Telugu, Nen evarni maruvanara, Swami said, I never forget anybody.
Wow.
Though it's been 25 years, I still remember you.
Fantastic.
You know, I'm reminded of another thing when Swami's classmate, who was living in Bukapatnam, after many, many years, you know, he had a surgery and Swami had sent Vibhuti for him. So after he had recovered, the family members just wanted to take him to Swami and just send word to Swami saying that Swami, he's fine and he's here and he just wants to offer his gratitude. They just thought an acknowledgement would come from inside and Swami would say that I'm very happy. But it was not the acknowledgement, but Swami himself came out. You know, Swami had already retired after Darshan, but Swami came out. So this person was pleasantly surprised, and you know, Swami came to him and addressed him by his name and asked him, how are you? I heard you are not well. And you know, this person was in tears, needless to say, quite obviously. And he said, Swami, I thought you had forgotten me. You know, the conversation was in Telugu, and Swami replied, Ninna marchipote, nanna nane marchiponattu. He said, if I forget you, it is like me forgetting myself.
Wow.
You know, what could have been a more profound answer than that.
And fantastic. In fact, I'm reminded of one beautiful thing that I read. It seems in the earlier years, whenever devotees used to come, because, you know, it was this formative years of the ashram, when you had the Pathamandiram days, and they had to really plan how many, to cook for how many people for that day. Swami used to inform them in advance, you know, you cook for 10 people today or cook for 20 people today. And Swami used to say, Iroju, this many people, chuttalu will come. How many chuttalu will come there? Chuttalu means relatives. So that is how Swami used to refer to the devotees who used to come. Swami used to say, today 20 relatives will come. Tomorrow 30 relatives will come. He will tell them in the morning itself, so that, you know, he will tell them actually much before, so that they can get the provisions, because, you know, Puttaparthi didn't have anything. They had to go maybe Anandpur and somewhere else and get all the provisions. But that is the word Swami used to always use, chuttalu.
In fact, another poem or a phrase which Swami often used to tell, I remember we used it in one of the dramas, and when Swami heard that, you know, he became very emotional, and we were wondering why, and immediately found out the meaning of that verse more in depth. And this is what Swami says, Nammaka chedinavalu unnaremo kani, Nammi chedinavalu leru, 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 Swami says very emphatically, which means there might be people who might have lost in life because they did not have faith in God. But there is not a single case ever of a person who had faith in God and who was left alone, you know, with the struggles of his life. God is always there. And even the story of the footprints, you know, talks about this so beautifully. It goes like, there was this man who was, you know, running through his life with God. He was just seeing over his whole lifetime and how it went through. And he saw two sets of footprints. And he asks God, whose footprints are these? And God says, that one set of footprints are yours and one set is mine. And as he sees those difficult periods in his life, he sees only one set of footprints and he becomes a little upset. And he tells God, what is this? Is it that during these difficult times you left me alone and went away? And God says, my dear, look carefully. Whose footprints are those? And when he actually looks carefully, he sees that during those very difficult times in his life, there were just one set of footprints and those were of God. And God says that in those times, in those troubled times, I did not even allow you to walk. I was carrying you on my shoulder. So those are my footprints that you see.
Beautiful. I think it's a lovely reassuring point to conclude this discussion, and it has been a wonderful discourse. It's been a wonderful discussion, a lovely episode of Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam. Dear listeners, we hope that you would have enjoyed it as much as Bishu, Giridhar and myself have. We've had an extended session today thanks to the presence of the director of the OID, the Outside Inside Deep Inside segment, and thanks to the uncertainties around, we had the pleasure of having the company of Bishu, and we are of course grateful to Giridhar for joining us here.
My pleasure completely.
And
absolutely, I always wanted to, though every day, every Thursday I do Outside Inside and Deep Inside. Just yesterday I had this thought that since there is extended sessions and you know, most likely it may not be possible to
have all the segments,
and just that fleeting thought actually came yesterday that maybe I will participate this time, but I never asked you.
Right.
And it just happened that you asked me 1 hour before, will you join? And I was actually pleasantly surprised and happy. So it's really a Bhagavan's blessing that I was able to participate in this discussion. Thank you so much, Praying. Absolutely. And of course, all gratitude to Bhagavan.
Yes, dear listeners, though it's three of us here, it's all of you joining us here, which is completing this satsang. And we thank Swami for this opportunity. As always, we offer our most humble pranams at Bhagavan's lotus feet. We're going to leave you with the bhajan which Swami sang at the end of that discourse, and have a good night and meet you again tomorrow. Tomorrow again, just to inform you, we will be having the live broadcast of the Vedam which is going on in the Purnachandra Auditorium as part of the Veda Purusha Saptaha Jnana Yajna. That will be around 7:45-8 tomorrow morning. This is Prem from Team Radio Sai. With me is Bishu and Giridhar. We are signing off for today. Jai Sai Ram.
भजन बिना सुख शांति नहीं, हरि भजन बिना सुख शांति नहीं,
हरि भजन बिना सुख शांति नहीं,
हरि नाम बिना आनंद नहीं,
हरि नाम बिना
हरि नाम बिना आनंद नहीं,
हरि नाम बिना
हरि भजन बिना सुख शांति नहीं, जप जान बिना सम योग नहीं, जप जान
बिना
जान बिना सम योग नहीं, जप
जान बिना सम योग नहीं,
प्रभु दर्श बिना प्रज्ञान नहीं,
दर्श बिना
प्रज्ञान नहीं, दया धर्म बिना सत्कर्म नहीं, कर्म
नहीं,
भगवान बिना कोई अपना नहीं, भगवान बिना कोई अपना नहीं, हरि नाम बिना परमात्मा नहीं,
हरि नाम बिना परमात्मा नहीं।
హరి నామ బినా ఆనంద నహీ హరి భజన బినా దుఃఖ శాంతి నహీ సుఖ శాంతి నహీ